Right now it is time to bring in Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim, an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, bringing many years of experience, those subjects, and more. Ladies and gentlemen, let's wish a happy 4th of July to Jim Dandy, Jim Lynch.
And a post-happy birthday.
That's right.
A belated happy birthday.
Happy birthday passed to you. Happy birthday passed to you.
And I think one of your grandkids.
Happy birthday passed to you and one of your grandkids. Happy past birthday
just
to you.
You can fit that in. Mr. Meter here.
Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous?
How many people?
Anyhow, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
How many people sing to you first thing in the morning, Jim?
Two.
I wouldn't call it singing. It's loud, but it's not singing.
That's right.
Anyhow, and a happy 4th of July to everybody.
And the cats are just murdering each other, and so I have a quick question to get in before you start your stuff. And that is something that I noticed that struck terror into my heart. And it is something called deep fake, and it was reported by AP yesterday. And you will have gotten it on one of your morning newsletters. And it talks about how the technology is now available, it's just out there for everybody, to manipulate imagery and audio so that you can say anything that you can make it say anything that you want it to say. And that is something that people, if you are of a certain age or above, or a certain age or below, if you've grown up with this stuff, you are far more savvy than if you are, I would say, between, oh gosh, let's nail the millennials, somewhere between 25 and 45. So, what is your crash course in getting good information so that you have the ability to determine whether something is fake or not?
Well, we've discussed previously, both newspapers and shows, where there is some great credibility, which can be checked. I think one of the problems with what you're describing is that many of us have gotten into accepting too quickly things that we receive, be it obviously on the internet. And I think there's a tendency, and I have not done any survey, I haven't spoken to 50 people or anything like that, but I just get the feeling, based on the way people respond sometimes on Twitter and Facebook, that they are not giving much, if any, thought to what they've just read. And they respond in a way that shows they couldn't have read it because they're dead wrong. So when it comes to fake stuff that people make up, there is a large group of people who are going to just take that in. And so I think, therefore, the first thing that I would suggest that people think about in terms of dealing with this new technology is, how are they receiving information? Are they just simply accepting it? Are they stepping back and saying, wait a second, let me think this through? Are they looking at the possible prejudice in the given piece of information? Be it pro or con their own political views. So it really takes individuals putting their minds back to work or to work if they're going to deal with this new phenomena.
You know what's happened, Jim, and I'll chime in here because there's four things you can do. First of all, and Jim, you're on Facebook occasionally, so you know what I mean. People post memes with pictures of famous statesmen or famous educators, and they have quotes by them. Whenever I see that pop up, and it's just a meme with a quote and a famous person, I put a meme under it to counter it that says, just because it's a meme doesn't mean it's true. If someone wants to post a picture with a story that is written and then identify the source of the story, that is something that you can take in and look at. Now, what a lot of websites do to confuse people is they make up fake website addresses that when they post these stories. Like instead of having ap.org, it's ap.com. Instead of having cnn.com, it's cnnnews.com. They make fake web things on, and people repost these all the time. And what happened during the election, and it happened to both Democrats and Republicans, when you looked at the stuff that was being posted as news stories, there was a little RT with each one.
Right.
Those posts all were from Russian television.
For RT, the RT, yeah. That's what it stands for, RT.com.
Yeah, RT. They were all, and 90% of the people that were reposting these memes and these stories had no idea that they were from Russian television. So what Facebook has now done is if a story is posted and it's got a headline, it's got a little eye you can click on, and it'll show you where the story came from directly. It's not on all the stories yet. But that's the biggest thing that people have to do. If you see a meme of some famous person and there's a quote there, you can do one of two things. Know that it's probably not true and it might be funny and move on, delete it, or type the person's name in and type the quote in Google and see if they actually said it. But if somebody puts up a big story, a picture, and it's a story and it's a very discrediting story, it's very easy, even if you're the laziest computer user around, to check it. It's very easy. All you have to do is look at the web address, go to the web address, and you'll know whether it's an authentic news source. I have people do this all the time when I put news stories up and I quote one source, and they say to me, Jim, well, where else did you see that news? That's a fake news source. Well, then I'll go out and I'll quote 7 or 8 other news sources because
that can carry it.
I don't just go with one news source. When I go with several different news sources, and I also can quote from those stories who the news sources are getting
their information from. And that's just, again, if you are in this business, then you know that you have to come up with sourced information. If you are not, and this is what gets exploited, you get the same thing in your original business where people just, it's pretty easy to scam people because they don't know how, if you don't know how a trade is basically created and executed, one is at a disadvantage. And that's theoretically why you you use a professional. But in this DIY era, where people are encouraged to save money by you can do this. It actually removes a layer of protection. It's just critical to note in all of this, because if you are going to make a decision or take an action, it has to be informed.
Well, along that score, I think those ideas are obviously the ideas, so to speak. However, I would like to address something very specific in terms of this information that is given to us. The President of the United States issues a blatant lie on God knows what some very important things, actually. And it gets put out that he has said this. Now, the media is beginning to take issuance with it. Not quite the way I'd like, which is like, you're a lying fool. But here is where awareness is necessary, and it's a two-pole thing. It's aware of yourself in terms of your prejudice, in terms of what you would like to see the world all about. And if you're a Trumpster, you'd like to see that world. Well, if you'd like to see that world, you really need to pull your britches up and say, what am I doing to myself? It's now become apparent that whatever the president says generally, I mean, whatever the president says most of the time is a lie. And am I going to take that in? And am I going to go with that? And am I not going to ask somebody else their opinion? I think that's part of this problem of accepting news. Let's face it, Trump dominates the news through his use of Twitter and the media's obeyance to repeating it. I question that obeyance, but that said, that's what they do. So this problem, obviously, is even much bigger than this technology, because when we start feeding people information, which is false, but they like the idea of it, then we're in trouble. I'll give you an example. Lindowski, one of Trump's henchmen, made fun of someone in this immigration situation. I used a phrase, he was on television, and I think he was thrown off that show, W-H-O-O-P, W-H-O-O-P. Okay, so that occurred, we'll say, a week ago. All of a sudden, a young man, pulls out a gun on a group of people that were peacefully protesting. He was confronted, he left the scene, and he was then arrested. But he used the phrase whoop, whoop in terms of going up against this particular group. This is how authoritarian governments come into complete control. I guess mind control is part of it, fact control, etc. So I don't know that we have some kind of technology or switch to help people to become more open to what reality is. I think on this show, more than a few times, we've mentioned, you know, you can argue all day long about your own point. Just listen to the other person, and maybe you'll learn something, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll be able to develop your own point better. We're obviously talking primarily politics, but I got to tell you, we're also talking economics, in that, you know, this tax cut, corporations basically bought back $438 billion in stock and counting. All of that money goes to shareholders. Shareholders are not in the lower 5%. They tend to be in the, call it the 60% on up. Using funds and things of that nature. Now, people are told they got a tax cut, individuals, and they did. It was very tiny, very small. And after you look, if you're in New York or California and you own a home, you got a tax cut maybe in your paycheck, but you're losing money because you're losing that deduction of a home mortgage. These are things that I'm talking about in terms of people taking in what they're given and saying, oh, that's great. Oh, it's my man who sang it, and it's wonderful. And we're taking in a lot of false information. Not we. Generally, a lot of people are taking in false information and guiding themselves in terms of their outlook politically, economically, socially, civilly, on a human rights basis, and so forth and so on. Anyhow, I don't really, I mean, other than discipline and awareness, I would say people do less on the internet and more in a concentrated way on things that you can check, like certain news shows. I'll give you one of the greatest examples I believe I've ever seen in terms of the delivery of news and the delivery of the stories. It's racial on MSNBC. That woman, she spends an incredible amount of time doing her research on her story, be it something breaking or something that is developing. And it can be kind of exhausting watching her because she puts so much energy into the job. But she's doing what we should all do in terms of searching out this material. If we just read the headlines, it's hardly worth it because what's behind the headlines? As Marshall has said, there are lots of ways you can, and you, Jill as well, backtrack on who sent the information and so forth and so on. I don't know if we all have that kind of time or we should be all spending that kind of time. I think maybe you get more specific in terms of how you want your news to come to you. And, this idea that the press, the media, is the enemy of the people, I think we all ought to better consider that statement coming from the President of the United States. That is very inappropriate, to say the least. But if the President of the United States is condemning some very significant sources of our news, like the New York Times and the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, etc., then we're up the creek without a paddle if we buy into that. So I think a lot more discerning of what we're taking in and a lot more thought once we decide this is something we want to think about.
You know, I only have about 2 minutes left, Jim, and I want to break in for a second. I don't know if you saw it or not, but on Sunday, CBS did a 50th anniversary edition of 60 Minutes. And they went through their high times. They went through their normal times. They went through the times they put erroneous stories on the air and corrected them. But they wound up with the final segment talking about Andy Rooney, who was, of course, did his reverent commentary at the end of each 60 Minutes show for over 30 years until he passed away. Basically, he passed away about a month or two after he retired from CBS. But they showed one of his commentaries. And you know what? We need someone like him today, because he would take apart what happens online in his own funny, irreverent way, but he would make people realize in his way how far astray and off we've gone with the internet, which was a great idea when it first came out.
There's a huge Vanity Fair, by the way, piece in this month's issue that talks about how it's gotten a little further along than anyone had quite imagined.
But
the Andy Rooney aspect is absolutely... See, one of the really terrible things that has happened, and this is media-related, and, you know... There's a lot of self-serving stuff here, so one has to be on the lookout for that as well. But the conflation between fact and opinion, pretty much cable news, and it's got this terrible word in it, it's called news, has panels of people discoursing, if you want to call it that, on opinion. And so that doesn't lend itself, that's, if you will, the new commentary. And that's not what commentary is.
Well, I was just, in the last minute or so, did you watch A Few Minutes with Andy Rooney?
Yes.
And what was great about him is he was a grumpy old man who took on everything, whether it was something stupid on the left, something stupid on the right, or something stupid in the center. He would take it on, and sometimes he'd do it all in one 2.5, 3-minute right. broadcast.
Exactly.
And we don't have that inspection today that also has a sense of humor that gets through to people. There's someone needs to do that so people understand what's going on around them.
Andy, who I admired, as you obviously have, he was lucky in the time frame he was around, and he really got himself started, so he became... the king, so to speak. But the budgets for his type shows were decent. They weren't great. But the news was not into, it was more service-oriented and less sales-oriented. And so this way we have now in delivering the news, there is a lot of be careful, don't let them catch you, don't disgruntle this group or that group, because we need eyeballs and we need advertising. I think that mitigates from more Andy Rooney's coming forward. That said, on the right side, like this guy Hannity, we have people who will pay that man money because he gets eyeballs. I don't care what he says. But ending with Rooney, he was a fantastic value to the human experience, because he really got down to people living their life just on an everyday, non-glamorous, but regular, honest basis. And that was his appeal. People, even men would put up with too much BS in the world, and it was nice to hear the truth.
We're out of time now, Jim.
Okay, well, been a pleasure solving these problems.
That's right. Happy 4th.
Well, happy 4th. We'll do it again next year. Not next week, I mean.
Well, if you want. Next year might work. I'm going to Iceland fishing. Okay, guys.
Thanks.
See you. Take care.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robin Hood Radio.